Good morning on this last Sunday in March. Would you turn with me in your Bibles, the book of Ezra, our study of the book of Ezra, and if you'd turn there into the sixth chapter of the book of Ezra, I'd like to read verse 14, and then we're going to read verse 15 in a few moments here. Ezra chapter 6, verse 14. And the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet, and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel, and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Before we look at a little bit of the thoughts and blessings of the prophesying, I just want to notice there in the last part of that verse that the commandment of God was first. The decree of God was first. The eternal purpose of God was first. And then he works it out through kings such as Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. Now these folks were not king of Israel. They were king of Persia. They were not king of Judah. They were the king of Persia. They were pagan kings. And their religion was far from worshiping the true and the living God. But they were used mightily of God. And part of that was for these Jews to return to Jerusalem. Now we notice there in verse 14, and we think about what a wonderful blessing to prosper in the word of God declared by Haggai and Zechariah. These folks, these two men, were commissioned by God. And they were commissioned by God to go to these folks building the temple at Jerusalem. They had a commission to go and preach to the folks at Jerusalem. These folks, these two men, were ordained of God. They were set aside by God. They were called by God. And they were given a message by God. And they were sent by God. These two were sent by God to go to Jerusalem and there to prophesy or to preach. And they had a message from God. God had given them a message. So these were commissioned, they were ordained, they were sent, and they had a message from God. It was not their message, yet they may rejoice in the same message that God sends. It was not their message. And their message that they were sent was not to get after these folks because they weren't working hard enough. These were to come and preach the wonderful message of the Savior and to comfort these folks that had just returned from Babylonian captivity. Remember with me over there in the book of Isaiah? Let's just go over there and read that in the book of Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. This commission that God gives to His people, to His preachers, to His prophets, to missionaries. In Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 and 2, we read, comfort ye my people, saith your God. That's the message. The Lord Jesus, when He asked Peter, do you love me? And the Lord said, feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry, declare unto her, that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. What a comfort that is. And then we go on and we find that prophecy about John that was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus declaring what the Lord Jesus would do. So it's a comfort. And these people came to comfort the children of Judah and Benjamin as they were building their the temple. In Isaiah, again, on this subject of comfort, I just remember being in religion and never did I go away from the church feeling better than I went. It was always ragging on us about something, and I used that in my own religion when I was pretending to be a preacher. But here in Isaiah 51, verse 3, it says, for the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places And he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody. Now, what is this like the wilderness of Eden? He'll make the wilderness like Eden. Well, what did God do to Adam in the Garden of Eden? Came and visited him. He came and visited him. What a blessing it is that through the comfort of the Lord, he would come and visit us. That he would commune with us. He'd fellowship with us. What a comfort. And that's what these two preachers were doing to the builders of the temple and the folks there at Jerusalem. They'd had a long journey to get back there, and it's been some time as the building goes on. And it's not time to beat the flock. It's time to comfort the sheep. And also in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, Isaiah chapter 61, we find these words that the Lord Jesus said he fulfilled in the hearing of those that were in the synagogue that day. The Spirit of the Lord, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. What good tidings? The gospel. Some have the idea that we have to scare people into the kingdom of heaven. We have to cause them to fear hell and get them into the kingdom. That's not preaching the gospel. The gospel is preaching good tidings unto the meek. He has set me to bind up the brokenhearted. My goodness, if you've ever had a broken heart, to have someone come along and give you a little comfort in that. To proclaim liberty to the captives. To be a slave and be set at liberty. The opening of the prison. To be a criminal and be in prison and to have the doors opened for us. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. These words were fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ. He told us that as he preached from the book of Isaiah chapter 61. As Haggai and Zechariah preached, they reminded the folks, where were we? In captivity in Babylon. Where are we? In Jerusalem. Hallelujah. What were we doing? Serving a pagan king in Babylon. What are we doing now? Serving the living God. The psalmist shares with us a little of the feeling of the children of Judah and Benjamin when they were in Babylonian captivity. And this is found over there in the book of the Psalms. Would you turn there with me? The book of the Psalms. Psalm 137. This is a little of the feeling of the children of Judah and Benjamin while they were in Babylonian captivity. And it's so different to be back in Jerusalem, to be back building the temple. Hearts are merry because the Lord has prospered them there. But here in the Psalm 137, as we look back at what Haggai and Zechariah no doubt said and reminded the folks, where were you? What were you doing there? And then to bring to their attention, where are we now? And what are we doing now? Where were we? We were in Babylonian captivity. And what were we doing there? Serving a pagan king. And here in the book of the Psalms, Psalm 137, verse 1, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? It just wasn't quite the same. My goodness, when we look at Babylon as where we are by nature, the place of where the fall brought us to Babylon, we don't have the ability of singing songs of Zion. So these that were carried off 70 years later, they're brought back. How could we sing there? We couldn't. It wasn't permitted and our heart wasn't in it. What can we do now? here in Jerusalem. These two could remind them. What are we doing now? Singing the sweet songs of Zion. We're singing the words that were written many years later, but no doubt were in the hearts of these folks. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So these two preachers that came, God sent them, God commissioned them, God ordained them, God gave them the message to come. It tells us that they were comforted. They were blessed. They prospered there, as we read in the book of Ezra, chapter 6. They prospered there in verse 14. It says that the elders of the Jews builded, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. Where were you? In Babylon. Where are you? Jerusalem. What were you doing over there? Serving a pagan king. What are you doing now? Serving the Most High God. Did you sing over there? We couldn't. Our heart wasn't in it. Can you sing here? Yes, the words of amazing grace. So what a blessing it is for the preacher to come along and say, there's where you were and there's where you are now. Then it tells us there in verse 15, wonderful words as we look here in verse 15. It says, and this house was finished. Gives us the date, third day of the month Adar, which was the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. The house, this house, was finished. What a feeling must have went through the heart of these people when the final inspection was made and the you can occupy keys were given. The temple was finished. Sometime in the building, but now the last stone was in place, the last board, the last adornment was in place. The house was finished. And that word finished is to bring something to an end. As promised, the notice of bigger finishings are ahead. We have some bigger finishings ahead. As we look at this as a type and a shadow, a picture declared by the writer of the book of Ezra, the house was finished. We find that God has used a similar word in the past, and he has used it in a similar word in the future of this very time. Now, let's go back to the book of Genesis, if you would. Genesis chapter 2. As we think about how God has used a similar word in the past, and this house was finished. What joy was in the hearts of the people as they could stand back and see what God had allowed them, the building of the temple. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, and there in verse 1, we have something else said. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. What a statement that God made of the work of God in the creation of the heavens and the earth. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. They were complete. It came to an end. And it goes on here and talks about what he did on the seventh day. He ended his work and he rested. Not that he was tired, but he gives us an example of what true rest is. Our true Sabbath, our true rest, is in a person, the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the true Sabbath, and here's an example of that that's set down. That no righteousness was ever acquired by keeping Saturday by the Jews. They got to looking at that as that way, and they sneered other people who didn't. Just like we find today, people sneer if you don't worship on this day or that day. But the Scriptures teach us that we're to worship God every day of the week. And as we are permitted to gather together to worship God, to fellowship one with one another, and if we are not able to meet, as probably some of you, as us, are not able to do so right now during this pandemic, discretion is the better part of valor. We're thankful for this opportunity that we can record it and put it on sermon audio and our folks can hear it and others can hear it, but to meet together, how gracious and wonderful it is, but it's not on a specific day. Here we read in the book of Exodus, the predecessor to the temple. that was built by Solomon and then torn down and then rebuilt here in the days of Ezra. But in the book of Exodus, we find the completion of the tabernacle. Exodus chapter 39. Exodus chapter 39 and verse 32. Exodus chapter 39 and verse 32. It says, "Thus was all the work of the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation finished. Every stitch was made. Every board was planed. Every bit of service instruments were cast, and bronze or gold or silver or whatever it was. Everything was done. The Holy of Holies was filled with the pieces that were in there, and the Holy was filled with pieces in there, and all of the altars were built and placed in order. Everything was done." And then we can read, "And the tent of the congregation finished. And the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses." So did they. So it was finished, complete. They could stand back and say, the pattern is before us in this completed form. So as it was with that temple there in the days of Ezra, this building was finished. We find that God said similar words about the building of the heavens and the earth. It's finished. And here with regard to the tabernacle. And then when the children of Israel went into the promised land, let's go over here to the book of Joshua. Joshua. Joshua in chapter 4, verse 10 and 11. Joshua chapter 4 and verse 10 and 11. As they're crossing the Jordan River, we have these words recorded once again. That it was finished. "For the priests which bear the ark," Joshua chapter 4, verse 10, "for the priests that bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished." Now what is it? Everybody's passed over. All the old, the young, everything has passed over. "Everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hastened to pass over. And it came to pass," verse 11, "when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priest in the presence of the people. Nobody was left on the other side of the Jordan. Nobody was lost in the Jordan. Everybody passed over, and thus it could be said, it was finished. All the words that Joshua spoke unto the people, they were finished. All the acts were finished. All the work was done. They're in the land, every one of them." What a blessing it is to see every board, every thread, everything done as it was in the tabernacle, and it is there in the book of Ezra in the temple. We find here that the people of God, it's finished. They're brought through and brought into the promised land. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 6, we find these words about the temple that was built during Solomon's time. 1 Kings, chapter 6, verse 38. If you join me over there, the last verse of this chapter. "And in the 11th year, in the month Bul, which is the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts thereof, and according to all the fashion of it, so was he 7 years in building. This very month, the month of Bul, in the 8th month, was the house finished throughout all the parts." As it came to a close, as it was finished, after the years of building, the accumulation of stone and wood and gold and silver, and all of the work that went into it, the instructions that were made to the builders, and they followed through as they were led by God to build this great temple. In Solomon's day, it is finished. The house was finished. The work was finished. And as it tells us in the book of Nehemiah, many years later, and at the time of Ezra, it says the wall was finished. The wall of Jerusalem was finished. How blessed it was. It had been torn down in the days of Nebuchadnezzar as he came up against Jerusalem, besieged it, destroyed it, destroyed the temple, and destroyed the walls of Jerusalem in the days of Ezra. The temple was finished. In the days of Nehemiah, the wall was finished. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15. Let's just go over there and look at that. The book of Nehemiah chapter 6 And there in verse 15, it says, "So the wall was finished. In the 20th and 5th day of the month Elul, in the 50th and in 52 days, the wall was finished." Now, the Lord Jesus used the word finished several times in the New Testament. In his preaching, it tells us that he had finished the parables and he had finished these sayings. And she says that he had finished the work. Join me, if you would, over in the New Testament in the book of Matthew. As we think about the walls of Jerusalem finished and the temple, this building was finished. And go back to the examples in the Old Testament, how no doubt those that had worked so long in building the tabernacle, when they looked upon it in its completed form, and the children of Israel as they surrounded it and saw it in its completed form, their hearts were made glad to see it is finished. How that goes just to our very heart. How often have we found ourselves in doing something and it's not quite finished? I've spoken to people that they started building a house, they moved in before it was finished, and it took a long time. And what a blessing it is to be able to move into a house that is finished. Nothing left to do except maybe put the pictures on the wall. But to have it finished, to be given the keys to go in, the electricity is on, the water is on, the sewer is hooked up, everything is in order, all the switches work, all the plug-ins work, everything is, the furnace works, there's heat that comes out and cool comes out of the air conditioner. It's finished, nothing left to do. Well, as we look at this with regard to the temple that was being built during the times of Ezra, we find when it was finished, the word says it was finished. This house was finished. Well, turn with me over here to the book of Matthew, if you would. The ministry of the Lord Jesus. We find this word used. Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, and there in verse 53. You know, we're thankful that we have the Word of God. We can go back and reread these passages of Scripture. We can read the parables. We can read the word that the Lord Jesus said. We could read it every day. We could read it during the day. We could read it at night. We could think upon it, ponder it. But think of these words. "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence." You know, there's a whole bunch of people that just heard them, but they never heard them. And truly, it was finished for them. They had no blessing out of it. There were some that heard them and were blessed. But he had finished these parables. He departed thence. And if you look with me in Matthew chapter 19, Matthew chapter 19, these words are recorded with regard to the ministry of the Lord Jesus. It says in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 1, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan." Now, to a whole bunch of folks, that was it. They would never hear it again. Someone one time asked me about their daughter. They at one time put on the form that they were believers and studied the Bible and looked up words in Strong's Concordance. And then after a season, they had no use for it. And this person said, "Has my daughter sinned away the day of grace?" And my answer was, "Is she dead?" Now, she's still alive. She hasn't sinned away her day of grace. God is gracious. And who's to say in time? So here it is. Jesus had finished these sayings. To some people, that was all they would ever get. And to some, he is pleased to reveal, and it continues to go on, and we get to read it over and over and over again. Now, in the book of John, chapter 17, we find the Lord Jesus uses this word. And he shares with us here in John 17 something very special. John 17 and verse 4. John 17 and verse 4. "Now, before the world was created, before the heavens and earth were finished," as we read there in Genesis chapter 2, before that, before there was man, before there were the stars, before there was the moon and the sun, before there was any creation, before there was anything, there was God. And in that, we have to use words that fit our mind. So we say, before the foundation of the world, God had a purpose. And He purposed that He would send His Son to redeem His people from their sins. Now, here we find in John 17, verse 4, I have glorified Thee on the earth, as He prayed to His Father, I have finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. Now, the Father had given Him the work of incarnation. He was to come, born of a virgin, held in prison by the womb of Mary, be brought into this world to live among men, to hunger and thirst, to have weariness and all of these things, that He might be like His brethren, that He might be like those He's going to save. But here He says, I've finished the work which Thou gavest Me to do. Now, the finished that causes the church to rejoice and honor God with such praise is based upon this, is based upon all the other finishes that are found in the Scripture, but it is recorded in the book of John, chapter 19 and verse 30. John chapter 19 and verse 30. The work was finished. This house was finished. This tabernacle was finished. This preaching was finished. This crossing the Jordan River was finished. Here we have the Lord Jesus on the cross after He had suffered so much. As recorded in the 53rd chapter of the book of Isaiah, Psalm 22, and many other places, and the words from His own mouth as He spoke to His own disciples of what He must do while He was here. He would not go to the right hand or to the left hand. He had this purpose in mind. He set His face, as it were, a flint towards Jerusalem. He was going to go there. He was going to lay down His life a ransom for His people. And here in John chapter 19 and verse 30, the Lord Jesus sums all up. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, He said, it is finished. And He bowed His head and gave up the ghost. In other words, all is done. Or, it is consummated, or it is completed, or it is ended, or it hath been finished. These words are full of the highest import and richest consolation. Redemption work is finished. All the purposes which God had in Christ made by His soul and offering for sin were totally satisfied. He is a mighty conqueror, retiring from the field of battle, having gotten Himself the victory. In Isaiah chapter 63, would you go back there as we look at what was said about the Lord Jesus prior to His coming, born of a virgin and come into this world as His brethren, like His own folks, like those He was going to die for? Here in the book of Isaiah chapter 63, verses 1, 2, and 3, who is this that cometh from Edom with dyed garments from Bozrah, that is glorious in His apparel, traveling in the greatness of His strength? And I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save, that's the answer. Wherefore art thou red in thine apparel, and thy garments like him that treadeth in the wine vat? I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people that there was none with me, and of the people there was none with me, for I will tread them in my anger and trample them in my fury, and their blood shall be sprinkled upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. Who is this? This is the Lord Jesus. This is the one who had dyed garments. This is the one whose blood was spilt for His people. It says I have trodden the winepress alone. And it also tells us there, I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. The whole will of God, finished. The whole work of God, finished. The whole righteousness of the law, fulfilled. Redemption of His elect, secured. complete pardon procured, complete peace obtained. It is finished. What joy it was in the hearts of those folks when they saw the temple there in the days of Ezra, when it was finally finished. They could look upon it and say, my, how beautiful is this building. And look at the work that has gone into it and all of the furnishings provided and all the funds provided and all the stones provided and all the wood provided. So finished, so complete that nothing need or could be added. There was not a whit, not a nail that was needed in the building of that temple, and there can be nothing added to the words of the Lord Jesus when he said that redemption is complete. There can be nothing needed or could be nothing added, all without the help of man, and sealed with the blood of Christ, unalterable. Jesus, it is said of him, it is finished. Those are the words that are recorded of what he said from the cross. And all this, all being finished, is most gloriously demonstrated by his resurrection, his entrance into heaven, sitting at God's own right hand. A blessed result. The house was finished. The house was finished. Well, turn with me, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, look at this with me. The house is finished. All of the building stones are secure. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 11. As we think about all the work and the time that went into the building of that temple in the days of Ezra, or the building of the temple in the days of Solomon, or the time that went into the children of Israel crossing the Jordan River and entering into the promised land, and not one was left behind. Nothing was closed until it was finished. And here we have these words with regard to the church. It says, wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. It's not a Jew that's one outward. It's a Jew that's one inward. It's a spiritual child of Abraham, Jews and Gentiles, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. In other words, unfinished. Not complete. But the finished work of Christ, the words that he spoke from the cross, bring us to verse 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished, in his flesh, the enmity, even the law of commandments, contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. Good news, brought the gospel, comforted his people. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being made the chief cornerstone. Notice that last phrase in verse 19. And of the household of God, built upon the foundation of the preaching of the apostles and prophets, the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation. He's the chief. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Did you see that? That the church is the household of God, fitly praying together, and when it is brought to this point, we hear the words of the Lord Jesus, it is finished. Redemption is complete. The building, all the building fitly framed together. All of it is complete. All of that is made perfect in Christ Jesus. He is the master builder. He builds his house. He finished his house. It is he that has finished the work. It is he that has finished redemption. It is he that has finished righteousness. That righteousness imputed, ownership established. The house is finished. All the materials purchased by his own blood. All the foundation laid. There's no other foundation laid than that which is Christ. All the inspections were made. I find no fault in him. That's what we read. A seal of approval applied. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. The deed recorded and value established. Ownership declared. These are mine. They're my children. I've purchased them with my blood. Redemption is finished. Righteousness imputed. Ownership established. Raising completed. Place declared, finished work of Christ. The church is the finished work of Christ. In its fullness, in its completeness, it can be said, it, this house, it is finished. What do? We rest in the finished work of Christ. We have a Sabbath, the Lord Jesus. We have a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. All that was pictured in the tabernacle and all that was pictured in the temple is fulfilled in this one, the Lord Jesus. And he declares his church, his holy temple of the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We just rejoice in it is finished. This house was finished. This house is finished. This house is complete. All the material was purchased by Christ. The foundation is laid. The inspections are made. The seal of approval applied. The deed recorded. The value's been established. And ownership is declared. These are mine. Well, God bless you. May we pray. Our Father in heaven, we ask your blessing upon us, a blessing upon your word, a blessing upon your people, that we might rejoice in it is finished. In Jesus' name, amen.